Blog Talk Radio.
Wow. Guys, guess where I am. Greetings. This week I'm coming to you live from beautiful Colorado Springs, Colorado, sporting a fantastic view of the mountains. I'm literally looking out a panoramic picture window at mountains. Like Pikes Peak, I mean, it's almost like it's right in front of me. I have never been this close to mountains in my life. I've always got just a distant view, and I thought they were beautiful, but here I am. Pikes Peak is 14,000 feet. Wow, what an amazing view. And it's almost as though I'm in California because the sunshine here has been relentless, nothing like Seattle. I don't know what it's like in Seattle today, but, you know, I wouldn't be guessing wrong to say it might be overcast, cloudy, maybe even rainy. But this place is like being in California, even though it's getting a little cooler. And I know my marketing guy, David, tells me that sometime in late October, we get into the snowy season here in Colorado. I won't be here, although I need to come and take a visit, because I do want to see this place in the snow. But it's awesome. We're about 30 minutes, 45 minutes or so from Denver. I'm out here doing some training for some dealership, automobile dealership groups, teaching people how to focus. Having a blast. What a beautiful area, Colorado Springs. This is the Mental Power Hour, and I am your host, T. LaVon Lawrence, NeuroSculpting Certified Mental Fitness and Brain Training Consultant, author and designer of the NeuroSculpting Mental Fitness Training System for the life-changing development of improved mental concentration, better mental focus, and stronger mental discipline and willpower while enhancing brain health and brain fitness, because in the end, that's what it's all about. I'd like to thank everybody coming into the chat room. Folks, you know I am generally not a multitasker. I am a concentration and focus instructor. So if you are in the chat room and have any questions, most likely I'll answer them after the show is over with, but if I happen to be scanning and see that you typed in a question, I'll answer it here on the air if I can, but you know, for the most part, just expect me to actually get a hold of you after the show is over with. Fact. A 2007 University of North Carolina study demonstrated that on average, a person's mind wanders a minimum of 30% of the time. And that's 30% dealing with a mental concentration task where subjects knew that they were supposed to be controlling their attention. That means that on average, if I were to sit you down and have you do a mental concentration task where you know full well what you're supposed to be paying attention to, there is a 30% chance, minimum, that your mind is going to wander. Matter of fact, if I sat you down to do it for an hour, 30% of the time, at least 20 minutes of that time, your mind will be gone. It will be off somewhere else. You'll be off in la-la land. And this is if I tell you to concentrate. Another scientific study requiring participants to maintain attention showed mental wandering as much as 45% or more during tasks. They had one guy they noted that was 90%. Obvious ADHD right there. So, the average human being doing a concentration task where they're under pressure to actually concentrate will wander off in attention, will mentally drift for a minimum of 35 to 45% of the time. That is amazing, and it should be shocking, because if you're not doing a mental concentration task, if you're doing just your average daily activities, it means that most likely you as a human being, are not in the room with yourself, that you're not mentally on task at least 35% of the time. It's shocking. And then people wonder, hey, why is my productivity so, like, why can't I achieve the goals that I really want to achieve? Why am I always running around in circles? Why am I on the treadmill? Why am I not getting what I want from my life and from my own potential? Hey, just listen to the stat. A minimum of 35% of the time in any given hour, you are drifting. Fact. When your mind wanders, you blink more. Because when you mentally drift off, your body does things to cut you off from the outside world. Because your brain has no interest in external activities. That's why you blink more when your mind drifts. There's other signs, too. Your body does other things to subtly cut you off from the external world. You start slouching. Your eyes start to wander away from targets. You start looking off to the left or the right, downward. Your head starts to turn away from the target. It's because your brain is literally using your body to cut off external stimulation, to cut you off from the world, because it now has you wrapped up in your internal world, where whatever you're doing at the time, whatever you've drifted off to. That's a fact, scientific fact. Fact. When you're reading, your eyes behave differently when your mind begins to wander. When you're controlling your attention, you're simultaneously controlling your eyes. And when your mind starts to drift while reading, your brain disconnects from those, from that conscious control of your eyes. And your eyes start to do, well, whatever they're conditioned to do when looking at a page. So rather than going from word to word to word in a logical order, your eyes just kind of go all over the place, or they'll linger on a word for way too long. Your body changes. Your body does things differently when your mind wanders. That's because your brain is doing things differently when your mind wanders. And that whole thing about the eyes, that, friends, is why I emphasize the importance of simplified training approaches for increased brain power. That's why eye control training is so effective for building better mental concentration, because it's directly tied into your brain. When you can consciously control the activity of your eyes, it disconnects you from the mechanical behavior that your brain normally goes through. Your eyes, if you're an average person, most of the time during your day, you are not consciously directing the activity of your eyes. Just as most of the day, you're not consciously directing the activity of your steps. One of the most powerful things you can do is to integrate conscious direction into your physical activities. Matter of fact, it is the most powerful thing you can do for increased brain power. Fact, scientific fact, it is the most powerful thing you can do. It's more powerful than visualization exercises. It's more powerful than playing brain games. Nothing changes your brain's anatomy like infusing consciousness, conscious awareness into everything that you do, because you literally do everything differently when you do it. For instance, if I just told you, hey, I need you to just walk across the room, okay? You go, not a problem, and you walk across the room. But if I told you, I need you to walk across the room slowly, but you are to know that you know that you know that you are walking across the room, and that you are not to take any step unless you are consciously in the room with yourself. You are not to be talking to yourself. You're not to be chattering to yourself. You're not to be engaged in internal conversations. You're not to be drifting off into thoughts of the future or thinking about the task I just assigned you. You are simply to step. You are to move your leg, and your heel touches the floor, and then the rest of your foot, and then you move the other leg. And I want you to go completely across the room, and I want you to stay in the room. Never are you to drift off or talk to yourself or anything like that. You are not to lose attention. That is an entirely different activity than the first task I gave you of simply walking across the room. It's entirely different. Entirely different. And if I can get you just lay out a mile path, and I say, okay, walk that mile. boom, you walk that mile. When you get to that mile, when you get to the end of the mile, I'll say, okay, what were you thinking about? Most likely, you're not even going to be able to tell me. You've drifted off into so many different things. But if I tell you to walk that mile consciously, with absolute, unfailing, unflagging conscious awareness, and you get to the end of that mile, you're going to be able to tell me of an experience that most people just never get to enjoy. And if I told you now and you've never done it before, you would have a major struggle. Believe me, I do this every day. This is my job, guys. I deal with thousands of people. Hundreds of times I've suggested these sorts of conscious infusion techniques into average, mundane, daily activities. And I know what the reactions are. Man, it's so hard. Dude, I just kept drifting. Of course. Because you're dealing in mental habit versus a new mental habit. It is the most powerful thing you could possibly do for your brain is to infuse consciousness, conscious awareness into what you do. Because most of the time, folks, we're moving through life like automatons, like robots. We are conditioned. So when these scientific studies come out and they're talking about, well, they can measure or they can measure when a person's mind is wandering using simple devices to show what the eye behavior is. And then other scientific studies come out showing that through eye control training, through simple techniques, that they can improve mental concentration, improve mental focus, improve self-control, boost the portions of the forebrain, the frontal lobes that are responsible for executive control function of you being able to control yourself, to be able to reduce ADHD symptoms and that sort of thing. That's powerful stuff, guys. That's powerful stuff. It says that, hey, if you want to be more self-controlled, if you want to have better self-discipline, heck, use your own body to do it. Use your own body as your brain gym. Use your eyes. Use your breathing. Use your motion. That's like Tai Chi. Tai Chi is such an amazing practice. Because it is all about self-control, but it's also about increased self-awareness. It will change your brain. Indeed. So that's why I emphasize simple techniques. You don't need to buy a $2,000, $2,500 brain training software system and then train for 1 hour a week for 6 months in the hopes that you'll get some type of change. No, what you need to do is to practice every day in your living room or in your bedroom or while you're brushing your teeth or combing your hair or walking across the street or driving your car. Take 30 minutes, an hour a day to just actually consciously learn to control your own body and absolutely transform and change your own life. That is real brain training, folks. It's not about games. Games will get you nowhere, absolutely nowhere. Now, I'm a fan of brain training. You got to understand, I'm not going to be putting down luminosity and cog fit and those sorts of things. I like that stuff. It has its place. It has its purpose. It's a lot better than you watching TV, I'll tell you that much. But brain training games are not designed to give you true life transformation. They're not going to drastically change your brain. They might help you work on certain cognitive functions in a particular way, but you got no way to apply it. Stop playing games, guys. Get real brain training. Got a great show for you today. Going to talk about daydreaming versus visualization. How to transform unproductive imagination into valuable visioneering. And if you've never heard the term visioneering, think Disney. Disney doesn't hire engineers. They call them visioneers, where you take a concept from mind and you make it real in life. You go to Disney World, you go to Disneyland, that's visioneering work right there. Multi-billion dollar company, millions of people in attendance. visioneering. You actually have that ability for your life. But if you're like most people, you're throwing it away because it's not consciously directed, it's not moving towards a purpose. Instead, that ability to forge imagery and experience in your imagination is being used for escapism, to get away from the current experience that you're going through. When if you could merely convert that ability and set aside the habit of escapism, you could be forging a life that you would never want to run away from because it's so amazing for you each and every day. How to transform unproductive imagination into valuable visioneering. So, is habitual daydreaming getting in the way of your personal growth? These are questions you have to ask yourself. Are you living in la-la land way too much? Are you running too much through the fertile fields of your imagination, wasting precious time, wasting creative ability on unproductive fantasies to escape what seems like a dull, humdrum life? Do you realize how much that habit might be costing you when it comes to carving out a life for yourself? And here's something that, did you know that habitual daydreaming actually contributes to your own discontent with the life you're living? And I understand some of us are caught up in situations that are simply not particularly pleasant or preferable. But you're not going to get out of it by going into your daydreams. You're going to get out of it by using the power for daydreaming to construct the life you want to live and then to take yourself along the straight line to get in there. And that's what this show is about. Also on today's show, we're going to talk about just a couple of the things I've gone over in live personal and group training this week. This week, I'm in Denver, Colorado Springs, working with salespeople. I love salespeople. You might have heard me say that. I absolutely love salespeople. I think sales is one of the last adventurous jobs left on earth. If a person can get into sales, they can have a real adventure if they've got the right mindset. I love salespeople. That's walking the tightrope every single day. So I've done a lot of live training with sales folks this past week. Got some great stuff there. Plus a couple things that I've dealt with from my subscribers, the actual paid subscribers to the Neuroscoping Training Studio that you're going to want to hear about. We're going to discuss the mind-nourishing book of the week, and I'd like to thank Damon Reeves for that one because an amazing book, and I'll tell you about it. I'm not going to spoil it for you, but I will talk about it. And we're going to talk about the movie of the week. Now, you're welcome to call in during the show to ask any questions or get any advice. It's an hour and a half show. I might be a little bit shorter. I don't know, but I got too much content. I could probably make this a three-hour show if I wanted to, but you can call in at 347-884-9397. That's 347-884-9397. Now, if you don't want to call into the show, if you can't make the chat room, you're listening to us by podcast or whatever, you can always call me personally, leave me a message if you have a question related to your training, having a problem that you can't figure out. And the number to get a hold of me personally, and I will call you back eventually, is 904-638-3851. 904-638-3851. Leave a message. I am a busy guy, but I will call back. I always do. If you need to email me at trainer, T-R-A-I-N-E-R, at neurosculpting.com. That's neuro-sculpting.com. And I'll make sure to get a hold of you then. Now, how valuable is this episode for you guys? I'll tell you this. No matter what you do for a living, no matter what status you have in life socially, financially, you're going to get something out of this show. You're going to get just a little bit closer to mastery over your own mind so that you can take better control of your own life. There's somewhere you want to get to. there's a person you want to become. And the key to getting there is going to be located somewhere in this episode. And, of course, I say generally the same thing every week. You can go back into the archives of the show. Go to blogtalkradio.com, to our Brain Fitness training page, to our homepage here, and then check out the archives from over the past year or so. Every single show has what I consider to be priceless information that can make a major difference in your life. And all I ask in return, guys, because I'm not charging for this, I'm giving out literally thousands of dollars of information to you at no charge. And all I ask in return is that you share it with somebody else. Give somebody else an opportunity to hear something that could be of value for them. There's not one human being on earth who would not benefit from being able to have more mastery of their own mind, of their own self, in their own life. If you've got friends and acquaintances on Twitter, check out the Tweet This button that's on the broadcast page. Let them know the great stuff you're hearing. Your friends on Facebook, hey, hit the Like This button. Let your friends on Facebook know that you're listening to some really good material that could do them some good. If anything, hey, you could impress everybody. Hey, I'm not watching television. I'm listening to the Mental Power Hour, and this guy's talking about how to transform the daydreaming habit into powerful visionary. That's the kind of stuff you want to share. And in return, I'm just going to keep giving you the great information. Now, I got a gift for you. If you don't have it already, I have a completely self-contained brain training course that's supported by a forum, which will be activated this week since I'm in Colorado with my marketing guy. And, of course, we have a biweekly newsletter called The Power of Mental Discipline that you'll be receiving. And, of course, you can call into the radio show for the training. And the name of the course is 7 Days to Better Brain Fitness. Go to the Neurosculpting Training Studio, www.neurosculpting.com. Look up top. There's a tab that says Free 7-Day Course. Just click it, drop in your email address, and you'll receive the course. You'll also receive 7 days of supportive training that comes through email. I got to tell you, it's a huge course, guys. It's huge. There is a lot of reading, but you can skip all the reading if you want to and just go straight to the techniques. And then just let me know if you have any issues or you need any guidance on something. But it's a huge course. It's the largest no-cost course you can get online, probably anywhere in the world, with this level of information in it. Combine that with the 7 days of support emails that you'll get. You're not going to get it anywhere. There's people charging hundreds of dollars for this amount of information. And this information comes directly from me. It's not me reproducing somebody else's junk. So, you'll also get a copy of our version of The Power of Concentration, which was written by Theron Q. DeMont way back in the day. I think it has 16 exercises that you can get on. And you can get support for those, too. So in truth, folks, you got no excuse. There is no excuse when this amount of information and help and assistance is available to you. There's no excuse for you to continue on in unhealthy mental habits. If you can't focus very well, hey, listen to this show, subscribe to the 7-day course, make sure if you have any issues, you let me know. There's no excuse. You got everything you need. Everything you need. All you got to do is put forth the effort. And there's work involved. This is not a me bestowing gifts on you and then all of a sudden you've got this. No, you're going to have to work. My trainees can tell you you're going to have to work because you are looking to literally change the interconnectivity of brain cells. You're looking to change your brain. The Mental Power Hour is brought to you by the Neurosculpting Mental Training Studio for the life-changing development of improved mental concentration, better mental focus, and stronger mental discipline and willpower while enhancing brain health and brain fitness. Visit the studio at www.neurosculpting.com. There's a dash in between the words neuro and sculpting. Now, on next week's show, We're going to have mental focus. It's not something that you do to your goal. It's something you do with your brain. Mental focus is about your brain, not your goal. Going to be a very refreshing, insightful show. Stop struggling with your goal. Start training your brain so that you don't have to struggle with your goal, so that you stop wandering right and left, of course. There's no problem with your goal. The problem is in your brain. There's no problem with you. The problem is in your brain. And all you've got to do is do some training to straighten it out, to get those new neuronal connections, to get that new mental habit. The information we provide on the Mental Power Hour is for educational and entertainment purposes only. We do not claim nor suggest you ignore the advice of legitimately qualified mental health care professionals. If you feel you may have a serious mental health issue, you should consult your doctor, who is probably consulting a doctor, who is probably consulting a doctor. Get help if you're crazy. This past week, live personal training, I've been working with a lot of salespeople. And, of course, I've been working with my subscribers at the Neurosculpting Training Studio also. Not so much since I'm kind of stuck here in the mountains, but we still got some training in. Here's some issues that I've been dealing with this week. Customizing techniques. Guys, be careful that when you take a technique or approach that you get through training, that you don't customize yourself out of the result that you're looking for. I'll give you an example. There's one technique that even I gave away for free last week called a singular mental concentration builder. It's where you take a dot and you put it about arm's length. You make sure it's about arm's length away from you at eye level or slightly above. And that dot is the only thing that matters in the world to you. That dot is your life. You are not to think. You are not to talk. You are not to do anything but make that dot the most interesting thing that ever existed. Now, I've had more than one person, especially meditators. Meditators are bad for this. I love meditators. Who attempt to take their previous knowledge and experience and synthesize basically a brand new exercise out of something that simple. And the problem with that is, let's say in the case of the singular mental concentration builder, if you take affirmations or mantras and you're looking at the dot and you're humming to yourself and you're doing your mantra, whatever it is, om, whatever it is, that defeats the purpose of the singular mental concentration builder. It's called a singular mental concentration builder. That means when you combine it with some other technique, meditative or otherwise, you are dividing your attention. The entire point of the technique is to teach you the literal, bare, naked feel of attention control to the point of mental concentration, so that you feel what it's like to take dispersed attention, to corral it, to collect it, and then to squeeze it in down to a single point in absolute direct defiance of any form of distraction. There is to be no division of attention. This is about you learning the actual nature of your attention. It's bad enough that thoughts are going to distract you at every opportunity. It's bad enough that outside noises and everything are going to come at you. You don't want to put another obstacle in your way that weakens or dilutes your ability to concentrate. So, no, you don't combine those two. You have to be very careful. That technique was designed for a specific result, whereas using mantras and affirmations in meditation have their own results. They do have a purpose. But if in meditation and mental practice you're having a really hard time staying in the room, if your mind is constantly jumping all over the place, then drop that technique, pick up the singular mental concentration builder, and practice controlling attention directly, without any esoteric mumbo jumbo, without any religious covering. None of that stuff. Just get down to the scientific practice of attention control. Now, another thing I dealt with this week in live personal training, laziness, mental laziness. Now, you got to understand, guys, I know where you're coming from. When I first got into this training, I had adult ADHD. I mean, I was awful. I had one screwed up life. For the life of me, I couldn't get one significant thing done. I couldn't. And I was a talented, smart guy. But I couldn't get one thing done because I was so easily disgusted and bored by anything of significance. I could come up with great creative ideas, but I couldn't stick with them because the thrill of coming up with them is not the same when you got to actually sit there and do the grunge work, the dirty work, the mundane labor. That stuff drove me crazy. Well, most of my audience has some degree of the same problem. Hundreds of thousands of people that I've dealt with over the past couple years. And most of them have the issue of simply wandering. The mind doesn't want to stay on the one thing. It craves excitement. So when I talk to clients on the phone and I'm like, hey, how much practice have you done? Oh, I did 15 minutes here. I did 15 minutes there. Guys, that's not going to cut it. When I first came into this industry, I did like the other so-called mental trainers did. I said, oh, you can get this done in 5 minutes a day, no problem. Horse hockey. Malarkey. That's nonsense. You've got to put in the work. Here's the thing. This must be, mental fitness training must be the most important thing in your day because your brain is your life experience. As goes your brain, so goes your life. You can't experience life in any fashion other than as it filters through your central nervous system. Your family, your finances, your job are affected by your brain state. So your brain state should be the absolute number one thing you do because your getting mastery over your brain state will improve every other single activity in your life. It'll make you a better family person. It'll make you a better employee. It'll make you a better business person. It'll make you a better lover, for crying out loud. No, I see some of you running over to try to get up the course and start practicing. I see you. This must be the number one thing. It's like me coming up to some of you and saying, you know what? I want to give you $1 million, but it's going to be in the form of $1 bills. Now, I'm going to take this $1 million and I'm going to lay out one by one dollar bills on the ground in a straight line. And all you got to do to get this $1 million is simply reach down, pick up $1 bill, then step forward, reach down and pick up the other $1 bill. And keep doing that until you have the fortune. But here's the thing. If you don't pick up a minimum of $10,000, you don't get to keep any of it. Anything less than $10,000, you don't get to keep any. You can go to $10,000, $10,500, $50,000, and you can stop if you want to, because you will have gotten enough of that treasure to make you happy, to do what you need to do. But anything less than $10,000, nope, you won't get anything out of it. My experience over the past few years has been that a significant percentage of people who start mental fitness training would never even get to the $10,000 mark. They would never do it because they just, in their minds, with their attention span, with their wandering attention, with their constantly shifting desires, they're reaching down and they're picking up the money. They've got, say, $100, they pick up $200. Some people jump off right there. They're done. Some people get 500. Some people will go 1,000, 5,000. And you think, oh, wow, here we have some potential. But at 7,000, they drop off the face of the earth. And this is the habit in their life. It's not important enough to them in their own brain to keep on going even to a lousy $10,000. If you will commit to just keep picking up that treasure, you will not only get to the $10,000 or the $50,000 or the $100,000, you will get the million, and you will get more than that. Because once you have that kind of treasure, you get the compound interest. It must be the number one thing in your life. Must be. And the final thing I want to go over this week is, especially with salespeople, marketing people that I've had to deal with this week, mental focus is not something you suddenly decide that you're going to do. You got your sales figures in your sales cycle. Some salespeople, it's a week. They set their goals week to week. Some salespeople, it's monthly, like in car sales. You have insurance sales, real estate sales. You got quarterly numbers you need to try to hit. And it's the same typical cycles. People are optimistic at the beginning, and they've got their minds focused in. They can see the picture. You know, a week later, they've completely forgot about the picture. They're back in their usual mental habits. And then they're waking up a little while later, and they're going, you know what? I have got to get on the ball. I have got to focus. And it never works, guys. You can't pick up and then drop focus and think you're going to pick it up again. You've got to develop real mental focus that will be with you from the beginning of the cycle all the way through the end of the cycle. We'll talk more about that next week. Mental focus is not something you do to your goal. It's something you do with your brain. My nourishing book of the week, The Secret of Freedom by Vernon K. Turner. The Secret of Freedom, amazing book. A quick read. Took me about 4 hours, and that's only because I kept being disturbed by my marketing guy's kids. But I also kept going back over certain portions over and over and over again because I realized the depth and I know what the guy is writing and what he's trying to get across. I was surprised over and over again at how accurately and how concisely he hit the points. It's some deep stuff, guys. It's about literally mastering your mind in the present moment of stepping into the flow. Into the now, to where your egotism and your thoughts regarding yourself and towards it, all that mental chatter just dies down. And there is the superior human being. There is you, your absolute highest intelligence. I'm not going to spoil it. All I'm going to say is it's awesome. You got to check that book out, The Secret of Freedom by Vernon K. Turner. Now, my nourishing movie of the week. Now, I don't know how many of you are into martial arts movies, but you gotta check out Fearless with Jet Li. This isn't your typical just, you know, smack 'em around kung fu movie with the, you know, lip syncing and the words and the mouth movements all out of sync. No. Fearless with Jet Li is a deep movie. And it's a classic tale of a potential hero gone wrong, having a major tragedy happen, and then finally hitting rock bottom and having to discover a new way to exist in life that's far better, making them a far better person than they ever were. I would check out Fearless with Jet Li. And now, daydreaming versus visualization. How to transform unproductive imagination into valuable visioneering. Now, daydreaming. We all know what daydreaming is. It's like that mini vacation you take when you're at work. It's that experience where you can be that person you kind of dream you wish you could be. You're better looking. You're a better singer. You're taller. You're thinner. You're better dressed. You got all kinds of money. You got everything you could ever want. Everybody loves you. You're an adventurer. You're up on stage. Everybody's screaming your name. Is daydream a break from reality, or is it an interference with a potentially grand reality? And I'm telling you, from experience, mind you, that daydreaming, the habit of daydreaming, is an interference from a grand potential, a life you could be living where there's no need for you to drift off into daydreaming imagination in order to escape an experience that you don't find particularly preferable. Daydreaming is an interference. It's an escape mechanism that far too many people use far too much. And I say use, heck, they don't use it. It uses them. It's a habit. The situation you seek to escape will never get better if your efforts to move beyond it consist solely of drifting off into fantasies of a better experience. If you want to have a better experience in your life, in your job, and in your relationships, fantasizing is not going to make it better. It's going to make it worse because your brain, your subconscious, makes a comparison. That rich, vivid imagery and experience, that synthetic 3D reality that you immerse yourself into for your mini vacation, for your escape, your subconscious mind helps create that and increases your desire for that in contradiction to the reality that you're living in. And compares the two and says, you know what, my reality, well, you know, it sucks. And the more you daydream in defiance of the reality that you're in, the more you're going to be discontent with the reality that you're in. And the more you're going to want to continually escape into the fantasy world. Now, I've seen some coffee table type psychology articles saying that somehow it's health at bull, horse hockey. It is much better for you to be able to corral that imaginative ability, that imagination, to be able to forge a life where you are really living, than it is to escape and waste that time. An hour spent in daydreaming is an hour wasted in real life, because you could have been using that hour to move yourself forward towards a life that you really enjoy. And if you can combine conscious living, as I discussed early, the ability to literally live your life in the present moment, not always caught up in thoughts of the past and the future, you will start to experience life in a way that you don't need to escape. You don't even have to have the goal. The reason you don't enjoy life is because your mind isn't enjoying life. It's not set up to enjoy life. I can take two people in the same situation. Let's say you live in a really, really lousy neighborhood. Let's say your finances are really just, you're poor. There are guys over in the Far East who are far poorer than you, most likely if you're listening to this show, who are far poorer than you. And for them, their life is heaven. How is it that your life is hell and their life is heaven and they're worse off than you are? It's because of difference in mind. Now, you can go for your goal, but why be miserable during that time? Daydreaming, it just makes you more miserable. The more you escape into it for its pleasures, for its seduction, the more miserable you're going to be in real life. And then the sick thing is, your life gets blamed for how you feel. You escape, you feel these particular pleasures, and the jarring sensation of having to come back to now, of having to come back to the real world, makes you feel lousy. And then you look around at your world, and you're already feeling lousy, and so your brain blames the world. It blames your environment. It blames your situation. when in truth, the reason you're feeling lousy is because, well, you're on vacation, you came off vacation, and the contrast between the two, according to your brain, it sucks. Well, if you never wandered off into these false 3D synthetic vacations, you could be spending that time doing something about your environment. Matter of fact, if you don't wander off from moment to moment to moment, your brain's natural ability to be happy and content and joyous in the moment would start to take root. A human being is actually set up, the brain is set up for a human being to be happy. It is your conditioning that makes you unhappy. Your assumptions and your opinions towards your environment and your life and your situation. This is classic spiritual philosophy, and I'm not talking spirituality myself. I'm talking psychology. I'm talking science. But in the spiritual life, there are so many hints out there that all you need to do is to enjoy the moment, to be in the moment, and you'll start to discover your natural happiness, your natural joy. But you'll never get to enjoy that or get to learn that if your habit is drifting off into these little mini vacations. And I already gave you the statistics. Guys, on average, the average person is drifting a minimum of 35% of their waking day. If you're awake for 10 hours, 3 hours of that minimum, you're gone. You're off in thought somewhere. People drive all the way to work for miles and miles and miles and never even know that they drove. People work a work day and they can't even tell you what they did that day, except they might tell you, oh, I worked on this, I worked on that. But they can't tell you what the moments were like because they're off somewhere. They're even able to complete work mechanically without actually being there in the room. You've done this. You know what I'm talking about. Daydreaming is an interference. And the less you do it, the better off you will be, the more productive you'll be, the more joyous and potential happiness that will be yours. The situation will never get better by escaping it in your own mind. The situation will only get better by you pouring your attention into the situation itself. You've got to be able to focus your mind to achieve the better experience. Focus your mind. You've got to convert daydreaming into visualization, into visioneering, into constructing something that you will enjoy. Construction, not escapism. The difference between daydreaming and visualization, daydreaming, it's from a characteristic standpoint, it weakens concentration. It destroys focus. It actually weakens brain health due to lack of cognitive challenge. Daydreaming is easy. There's no thinking in daydreaming. I know it seems that way, but there are thoughts, but there's no thinking in daydreaming. In visioneering, in visualization, there's thinking, actual thinking, creative thinking, construction going on. That's brain training. Visioneering, constructing your future, which actually affects your present. Visioneering, constructing your life. Visualization, I mean, from a characteristic standpoint, improves brain health and brain fitness. Daydreaming doesn't do that. As a matter of fact, daydreaming, I think it ruins brain health and brain fitness because it makes you miserable about your actual life. Now, when we talk about daydreaming, there's going to be some constructs underneath that. In order for you to have a habit of daydreaming, you've got to have an unfortunate habit of mental wandering. That means your attention wanders habitually and your thoughts wander habitually. Wandering attention, everybody has it to some degree or another. You have to train to get out of wandering attention. Thoughts, everybody has it. It's normal. That chattering machine, that voice in your head that sounds like you, everybody's got that. The Dalai Lama has that. Monks have that. So-called enlightened gurus, they all have that. But the thing is, they train to overcome it. It's a brain function. You can't get rid of it. You can transcend its effects. You can become a master of concentration. But that is always going to be there in some degree because it's part of your brain's anatomy. I don't want to hear all that spiritual crap about people so enlightened that they have complete absolute serenity all the time. That is not the case. That's not the way the brain functions. Merely because a person believes it does not make it true. But you can gain power over that. You can transcend that. Wandering attention and wandering thoughts are the characteristics of daydreaming. You've got to have both in order for it to happen. Now, the thing that makes it really bad is not that you have wandering attention. It's not that you have wandering thoughts, because everybody has it. It's when your wandering attention is always immersed into thought. Now, I think I said this last week. You guys really need to check out the archives on thought control training, on the nature of thought itself. I don't want to get into it too much here because it's already going to be a packed show. But your thoughts feel real. You experience them as real. There's a phrase out there that thoughts are things. When you're in a thought, you can taste, you can smell, you can feel. That's why fantasies are so seductive. That's how you can escape into that three-dimensional synthetic world. Because it feels real to your experience, to the brain. That's the nature of a thought. Thought contains emotion. You can synthesize not only the world, but you can synthesize emotions in thoughts. That's why in, say, sports training and sports psychology, athletes are taught to recreate the scenarios that they want to experience in their mind, the feeling. That's brain conditioning, guys. That's brain conditioning. So you combine the fact that you have a synthetic reality that feels real, and then you pour emotion into that. That's a fake life that people live, many all day long. It's a disaster. It's a thief from real potential, from a potentially adventurous life that really would be amazing for you. So you've got wandering attention, you've got wandering thoughts, and then you have the lethal combo of wandering attention into thought itself. That is the problem. It's a sour recipe. But with every dark cloud, there's a silver lining. So that actually works to your benefit if you're going to actually get yourself out of a habit. Because your ability to immerse your attention into thought actually can work for you in getting out of the habit and actually giving you the life that you really, really want. Because you're going to use the same cognitive functions, the same brain functions, to build a life rather than deconstruct a life potential. So, how do you control a productivity siphoning daydreaming habit? How do you stop daydreaming and start visioneering a life that you really want to live? You've got to learn to control your attention. Remember the characteristics, attention and thought. Wandering attention, wandering thought. You've got to turn your focus onto attention itself. Again, check in the archives. I've got attention control shows that you can listen to that will tell you everything you need to know about attention and begin learning to control it. These shows are valuable. I do not mess around. I give you the good stuff. If wandering attention and wandering thoughts are the root of daydreaming habits, then, of course, you've got to train yourself to be able to control attention. And when you master attention, you will automatically begin to master thought. You don't go to thought control. Well, waste of time. That's like putting the cart before the horse. Go to attention control. It's really simple. You want to do something freaky? Do an eye control exercise, like the one I was about to tell you earlier. Blink. When you sit down for about 15 minutes, and rather than allow your eyes to just blink in their normal automatonic way, their normal mechanical blinking rates, every time you feel the need to blink, I want you to slow it down as slow as you can get it and actually blink at a maddeningly slow rate. I mean, close your eyes really slow and hold them for a moment and then open them really slow. Don't blink the way you normally blink. Blink only in that way, and only blink when you feel the absolute need to blink, like when your eyes start to dry out or maybe you start to feel a little bit of irritation. Then you blink and you do it slowly, 10 times slower, 20 times slower than you would normally blink. Do you realize the conscious effort of control necessary for you to do that? You literally have to concentrate in order to be able to carry that out. Do that for 15 minutes. See if you don't get a hint of what's possible when it comes to attention control. See if you don't get a hint of the wild impulses that fly through your body that you never noticed before. And when you realize that you have these crazy impulses that fly through your body that try to make you move around like a robot, that should give you a clue as to the importance of conscious living and conscious operation of the vehicle itself. That's a wild exercise. Freaks me out every time I try it. Of course, I've got tons of eye control exercises in the actual NeuroSculpting training studio, but sometimes I don't really get to them because by the time I get just through the attention control exercises, everybody gets it already. There's no need to get there, but I mean, I could invent 1,000 techniques that have to do with the body all by itself to get people to start to realize attention control is your key if you're going to get out of the daydreaming habit. Why? Because the daydreaming habit is an absolute loss of attention control in the moment that you are daydreaming. That's why. Attention control is the problem. So, attention control is the solution. Now again, if you can get attention control, you will not need to worry about thought control. Thought control will begin to happen naturally. Now, wandering thoughts is one of the problem characteristics in daydreaming. So I don't see any reason why you can't combine attention control training along with some thought control training. You don't need to right away, but why not? I tell people when I began this training at the early part of around the year 2000, 2001, somewhere around there, I can't exactly remember. I was partying pretty hard back then. When I finally decided I was going to do this training, guys, I was doing 4-5 hours or more a day. That's how badly I wanted it. And I would work with 5-6 techniques or more because I just wanted to know what could I do with this. So I don't see any reason why you can't combine the attention control training with some thought control training. Just a simple one. Heck, you go to our YouTube channel, www.youtube.com/dynamicmentalfitness. You'll find several thought control exercises there. You'll see some sensory. There's an eye control technique there. There's an attention span builder there, videos. But the one that's most popular is called One Brain Exercise for Better Mental Concentration. It's got over 100,000 hits on YouTube. That doesn't even count all the other video channels that it's on. That thing's got to have at least 500,000. One Brain Exercise for Better Mental Fitness. That right there is a great thought control training technique. Just go to a YouTube channel. Do that technique. Practice on the singular mental, the mental concentration builder. You've got right there two exercises. You didn't even have to join anything. You got the mental concentration builder, which is an absolute attention control exercise, and you've got a thought control exercise right there. You do those two, master them. Be able to do 15 minutes of absolute mental concentration. Be able to do at least 7 to 10 minutes on the thought control exercise, which is the thought control exercise is called a basic mental object retention exercise, the ability to retain a basic mental object in your head, a basic shape, a triangle. Oh, there's a guy, when you go to look at that exercise on YouTube, there's a guy who wrote a software program to help people who have a hard time picturing images in their heads. Look on the YouTube channel, look on my front page there, and you'll see the web address to be able to access and download this simple, executable piece of software. I downloaded it. It was absolutely awesome. I had to write him and thank him. Guy's great. That's how popular the exercise. People are writing software for it. That's how cool it is. So you combine attention training with thought control training, you will lick daydreaming. And I'll tell you why. The sense of power and accomplishment that you will get, and the sense of potential that comes with becoming very proficient at these techniques, are a much better experience for you than daydreaming. You will become dissatisfied, not with your current life. You'll become dissatisfied with the feel of escapism that comes with daydreaming. Guys, I don't like daydreaming. I don't like it because my life is so great now that I have more control in my mind that to daydream feels, quite frankly, nasty. I don't want to be swept away in imagination. It's too chaotic. It's simply not preferable. Once you begin to have mental mastery, daydreaming is insufficient. It's pathetic to you. I'm not saying that you're pathetic for daydreaming. I'm saying that when you get your brain to a certain level of skill when it comes to attention control and thought control, it feels pathetic to you to have to go off into daydreaming. You've got better things to do with your mind. You realize what power you have. So, to beat the daydreaming habit, you're going to have to master attention and thought. And then what can you do with that? You can take that daydreaming habit, that ability to be creative, and you can start constructing, visioneering, engineering through mind and imagination the life and the life experience that you want for yourself. So instead of daydreaming about riding in that fancy car, you can visioneer a productive path to acquiring that car. And you won't be satisfied with less, guys. When you can visioneer a path to getting the car you want, and I just use that materialistic example. There are many examples. You know? Some people it's gonna be about the house and the bank account and the independent, whatever it is you want. You're not gonna waste time dreaming, daydreaming about like you as though you already have it. You're going to visioneer a path to get there and to get it. And believe me, in comparison to the ability to go get it is much better. The knowledge that you can go get it and you've got a way to get it done is much better an experience than the pretending that you already have it. Because in the pretending that you already have it, you've got to wake up at some point. You're going to have to snap out of it and realize not only do you not have it, you've done nothing to get it. You have no chance. You know how lousy that makes you feel? Whereas if you visioneer, when you're done with that visioneering session, let's say you spend 30 minutes working on the goal in your mind and the steps, when you're done with that, you feel fantastic. You feel awesome because you know you are getting it done. You are doing the necessary mental work which will enable you and fire you up for doing the practical labor to get it done. And when you can visioneer with that amount of intensity, you have mental focus down pat. And even the most mundane things you have to do in order to achieve that goal are exciting for you because you know that every step you take is taking you in the right direction. That's why visionary is so much better than daydreaming. Once you acquire the visioneering habit, you will have no interest in daydreaming. It will be an inferior mental habit in your experience. Inferior. You've got to become the conscious director of your fantasies. You've got to know that you know that you know that you are the one who is running the production and set the production up to achieve a dynamic result in your own mind. Now, here's some points to talk about. When you're daydreaming, it's usually going to be during an activity that, well, you'd rather not be in. Even, well, sometimes, you know, like, you might even be going, driving in your car, going to a nice event, and you're daydreaming about the event on the way there. So sometimes it doesn't have to necessarily be an unpleasant possibility or prospect. You're in the daydreaming habit. You're going to daydream every chance your brain gets to pull you into la-la land. Well, what you want to do is you want to consciously decide that rather than daydream, I'm going to take time that where I know I wander off in the fog. I'm going to take that time, and instead of daydreaming, I'm going to visioneer instead. I personally recommend that when you drive a car, operate a vehicle or a machinery, that you have your mind in the room with you, that you operate it and do so in the present moment. It's a powerful brain training experience. Like I said earlier, it's the most powerful thing you can do with your brain. But if you got to wander off, then you may as well be the conductor, the constructor, and the director of the thoughts you're going to have. Why daydream when you can construct during that time? If you're in a vehicle and you know you got a ways to go and you know normally you daydream during that time, you drift off into fantasy, don't do it. Decide right then and there, you know what? If I'm going to go off, I'm going to go off consciously and I'm going to direct. I'm going to think about the thing I want and how to get it. I'm going to refresh in my memory how it's going to get done. Heck, maybe I'll even think of a way to get there. I'm going to focus my mind on that thing. I'm going to see myself already in possession of the result. What am I like as that person? I mean, if you got to wander off, why not do it consciously? Convert yourself into someone productive, because that is actually productive time. I don't recommend it. I recommend you drive when you drive. I recommend you operate machinery when you operate machinery. But if you're going to do it, heck, you may as well do something that's going to do you some good. I know that in Tacoma, Seattle area, I don't like driving. I'd rather take the bus. Much better. I hate traffic. I hate sitting there. But if I take the bus, I can look around me and I see pretty everybody there is daydreaming. They're off in la-la land, thoughts of the past, thoughts of the future, regrets, fantasies. I can look at their faces. I can look at their eyes. I just told you what happens when the eyes are, when the mind is wandering. I can look at their bodies and their breathing and their shallow physiology. Now, when I'm there with them, I'm not going to go drifting off into fantasies and daydreams like them. If I got to do something mentally, I'm going to work on my goals in my mind, just as suggested in such works as The Science of Getting Rich, Think and Grow Rich. If you've got some leisure time, work on your goals in your mind. Place yourself there for a short while. See yourself in possession of the goal. What kind of person? What have you become by achieving that goal? You've built that big company in your mind. What are you like then? Okay, you've got certain characteristics. What are those characteristics like? Remember, you're not fantasizing here. You're practicing becoming the person you need to become in order to achieve the goal in the first place. You got a little time on your hand? Don't waste it. If you're not going to do a conscious exercise of just being there in the moment, then do a productive exercise and work on your mental focus, work on your goals in your mind. Guess what the result of that is? Your subconscious mind will begin to move you in that direction. Your actual perception of the world will begin to change. You'll actually start seeing more opportunities to get what it is you want to get and become what you want to become. Your subconscious mind will become your ally. You'll find that you don't have to work so hard in order to get the thing. You'll find your fears being transformed into hungry, relentless desire. When a fear becomes a desire, your problem is solved because you're going to go for it. There's nothing that's going to be able to hold you back or stop you. Transform daydreaming into visioneering. Every opportunity you get, when you know that you are in a situation where you normally daydream, have it already established that you're going to instead take that creative ability and transform it into something that's going to get you where you want to go. And the mere habit, let's say you daydream 10 times a day in boring situations. You're in a job where you daydream. But doggone it, take every opportunity right then and there to actually construct the life you want to have. Now, I'll tell you a couple benefits of you having already decided you're going to work on attention control training as well as thought control training. Your attention control training will begin to prevent you from wandering off into thought, because what you learn in your training sessions, you'll be able to transfer into your work, into your driving, into your hobbies, into your conversations with other people. You will cease to allow your attention to wander the way you normally do. And because your attention does not wander the way it used to do, you'll fantasize less normally anyway. And if you find yourself with time in your hands, well, you've been practicing thought control training, so you can go ahead and start doing visioneering during those opportunities that will actually condition your subconscious to be your ally, to give you the habits that you normally need and create you and transform you into the person you need to be. It's a win-win-win situation. You train your attention, you train your thoughts, you establish the habit that if you know of any situation where you daydream, instead of daydream, you're going to visioneer, it will change everything for you. Now, the path I've laid out there is pretty simple. You know that daydreaming is an interference to your potential as a human being. It's an interference to your career. It's an interference to your finances. It's an interference to your family or relationships. Daydreaming is not a good thing for you. That established. You know that daydreaming is based off of two main characteristics, wandering attention and wandering thoughts. Combined, your attention is habitually wandering into thoughts and fantasies so that you can have a pleasant escapism from the reality that you perceive somehow as being insufficiently pleasurable, whatever your situation. The solution then, in order to be able to be more productive and to be able to build and construct the life that you really want for yourself, is to take those same two characteristics, attention and thought, and to train yourself to be masters of those two things. To first and primarily control your attention. Train yourself to control your attention. I've given you exercises. You know that you can sign up for the 7-day course. No problem. By controlling your attention, you will automatically be able to start to control your thoughts. But simultaneously, you're still going to train in thought control. I gave you an exercise. I pointed you to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/dynamicmentalfitness. Look for One Brain Exercise for Better Mental Concentration. That is a beginning. You'll find more in the 7-day course. So, mastering those two techniques are techniques similar to those. You're mastering attention. You're mastering thought control. You will automatically begin to daydream less because you will be controlling your attention. You will learn lessons during that training that will cause you to daydream less, because when you do what you do, you'll find attention control of controlling your attention, you'll find that to be a much more pleasant experience. You'll feel a sense of power by holding your attention, of discovering that you have that ability. People around you will seem to move in slow motion in comparison to you, because you have that sort of power. And then when you do have opportunities, casual opportunities, where most people would drift off into daydreams, you won't drift off into daydreams. You will be constructing your life in your mind, and you will be practicing and rehearsing just like pro athletes do when they need to be able to perform when the game is on the line. You will have that level of mental skill so that even when you're goofing off, you are absolutely productive. And then everything will open for you. Your subconscious mind, having become your ally, you will begin to spot opportunities where nobody else sees them. Things will just seem to come to you. You will understand the term magnetic attraction to success. You will understand the term law of attraction. It's not that things are coming to you, it's that finally you are going to things. Things that are already there. But to you, from your subjective perspective, it will appear that things are simply being handed to you because you're following the laws of mind that make it possible for you. The path is simple. All you've got to do is practice and begin to practice. You've got to commit to putting an end to escapism. Put an end to the hunger and impulse for escapism. Life is so much grander than you realize. And you can only begin to realize that level of grandeur when you've got the skill to keep your attention in the present moment in the room with you. Don't drift. Direct. Be the director of the activities of your own mind. Direct. Don't drift. And I do have one final warning. I took it lightly. I spoke about it lightly during this training, but I'm going to tell you this. Practice attention control. Because there's a time and a place for visioneering. And that time and place is not when you're supposed to be doing something of value. You're so much better off with attention control during times when you're supposed to be producing value for other people and for yourself than you are with visioneering. Because you don't want to convert visioneering into fantasizing. If you're doing something boring, you're working on a window at the post office, and you decide that you're going to visioneer your future and work on it, I understand. But if you would be better off and better served by keeping your attention right there at that window with you, and improving your attention control, choose attention control first. Remember, attention control is always comes before visioneering. Attention control must be first, always. And that's the warning I have with you. So, I hope that I've given you guys enough information and advice on converting daydreaming into visualization. Make sure to check next week's show where we're going to be talking about mental focus. It's not something you do to your goal, but it's something you do with your brain. And I want to thank you once again for joining us. And I'll see you next week on the Mental Power Hour. Thank you for joining us.